Howdy-do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. I am here on Monday, the 26th of October, with my known associate, James Thompson. Hi, James.
That sounds positively criminal, the way you put it.
Well, it sounds a lot more interesting than my friend James, right? Like, known associate sounds like we're up to something a lot more interesting than just podcasts, right?
I mean, it frequently happens.
It can. So tell the people a little bit about you for our listeners who may not be familiar.
I am an indie developer for Apple devices, I guess. I started out doing Mac stuff a long time ago. And I'm probably best known for Peacock and going back, drag thing, Dice by Peacock, and generally doing silly things.
Yeah, I guess I should have introduced you as James About Screen Thompson. Would that have been more accurate?
I might have been working on an About Screen for the Dice app just before you rang, so we'll see.
Well, that sounds terribly exciting. I enjoy the Dice app very much, partly because I was sort of there when it happened, and also partly because I find it unbelievably useful, because it turns out there are a lot of opportunities to roll dice in various configurations where I may not necessarily have any on my person. So, and just for people who want to know, Dice by PCalc is literally rolling dice.
Yes, it came out of the Total Party Kill podcast, and it was just a sort of a little thing to keep me occupied, which I do every now and again. The About Screen in PCalc was that as well.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity to learn things about 3D graphics and the like. I wouldn't say it's financially the most wise thing for me to put some time into, but, you know, it's we all need something that's a bit of a break every now and again, and
yes,
that's what it is for me.
Yeah, it's nice to shift gears and get to do something different once in a while, particularly if you work on the same thing all the time. And for you, primarily, that's PCalc, right?
Yeah, and PCalc has been around for 28 years. So,
goodness sakes.
Yes, when I say it out loud, I just feel old. And many people listening to this will be thinking, that's older than I am. And
we have other regular guests on Daily Observations that PCalc would be older than them. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that I've not worked on it constantly for 28 years. It's just like every now and again, I'll sort of go off on a tangent or like go and work for Apple for 4 years or whatever. But it's been around, and it's our sort of our main product at this point.
So you've sort of been an indie developer for quite a long time, that is the feeling I'm getting here.
Yeah, I mean, like, officially, I think it's like 20 years. Like, I mean, it depends on how you count it. But, like, I've been sitting in an office in this very office for 20 years working on stuff for myself since I left Apple in 2000. So, yeah. I guess I've been doing the home working thing longer than some people have.
Yeah. I haven't been at it quite that long, the working from home bit. But yeah, I know it sort of felt weird when all these other people were discovering things earlier this year that, like, you and I have known about for quite a while. Like, have a room where you can close the door behind you. That's really important. Things like that.
Get dressed in the morning.
Yes. Yeah. Put on some pants and sit at your desk like it's actual working. Yeah. So, okay, you did mention working for Apple. What were you working on when you were there?
So I worked on a number of things. The most successful of which was 101 Dalmatians Print Studio. But I worked on, towards the end of my career, on the Finder and the Dock for macOS 10.
For macOS 10. Okay. So what people are using now, that's like you worked on earlier iterations of that.
Yeah. I mean, one would say that none of my code actually shipped in the end, but that's a whole different story.
Well, we can get into that on another episode if you prefer. Dice by PCalc, I know, is primarily, well, I don't know if it's primarily, but I primarily use it on my phone. So is that a, when you were developing that, did you think about like someday someone's going to want this on their Mac? And now
that when I originally developed it, it was purely for the phone with some thought of Catalyst in the future. And that's what I eventually did. PCalc proper is a separate iOS and Mac apps with the Mac written in AppKit rather than UIKit. So underlying code is shared between the two, but PCalc currently is two separate code bases effectively with some core stuff. And Dice is written in UIKit and then uses Catalyst to have a Mac version and an iOS version. And really, the purpose of the Mac Catalyst stuff is it's my experimentations in where could I go with PCalc down the line, because I think ultimately that's what's going to happen is PCalc is going to be Catalyst with some Swift UI, but I'm not there yet.
Okay. Well, it's nice to have the testing of that. How does it compare when you're working in Catalyst? And for people who aren't aware, Catalyst is the thing. We heard about it as Marzipan or Project Marzipan, I think, for a long time, that will allow people to build a basic app and then decide, is it going to be an iOS app or is it going to be a Mac app? But it all starts from the same place. Please tell me if that's wrong, James.
No, that's right. I think the difference, what you need to do, like when they announced Catalyst, they were like, oh, it's just a checkbox. Click this checkbox and then you'll magically have a Mac app. And and that kind of works. But what you end up with is, if you just imagine like an iPad duct taped to your screen, it's like one window. It's got no menus. It's not really a Mac app. Okay. So then, but you can take that code base and there is like, for example, there's APIs for adding menu items to the menu bar. Yeah, okay. Things that you might expect in a Mac app. And you can take it as a starting point and then you can work from there. And it's interesting because on the Apple Silicon Macs, which we're expecting to see at some point in the next few months, you can just take an iOS app and run it directly on the Mac. And what you get there is basically an unoptimized Catalyst app. It's the same, it's exactly the same technology. And it's just the, it runs in a window and hasn't, you know, doesn't really have much Mac-ness about it. Okay. So Catalyst is a good, it's a sort of stepping stone. But once you're doing it, It's a lot easier because most of the code base is shared between the different versions of the apps. But there's always going to be some code that only runs in one and only runs in the other.
Okay. And do you find it better to develop in Catalyst for that reason? Like you can still make the iOS version iOS-ified and you can make the Mac version very Mac-ified.
The
bulk of the work that you're doing is kind of used in both places?
Yeah, I mean, Big Sur has got a lot of improvements to Catalyst, which make it so that you can make it more Mac-like, which is why I've been sort of doing all this experimentation. And it's like, and I built, there's a new preferences dialogue in Dice, which is done in Swift UI. And it's like, give me like a small project to work on something and to learn something. And that's how I do most of my development. And that's why I end up putting like strange things into a calculator, because I'm trying to learn something specific.
Yeah. And I think like one of the things that I remember was you talking about, I think it was the physics of rolling the dice. And that being a thing that you were sort of learning about when you were building the Dice app, that was a thing I thought was really interesting because it never occurred to me, like, they have to have some sort of weight in order for you to roll them and, you know, have some sort of behavior. And I thought that was really interesting because it would never have occurred to me. I mean, maybe if I were a developer, it would have. I never would have thought of it.
There are weird things going on in the physics such that... SceneKit is Apple's 3D engine, which is very capable. And it's a quite a high level thing. So it's easy for me to get my head around it because you can just sort of say, you know, like make a sphere, put it over there, make it metal and shiny.
Yeah.
And it's not at the level where you're sort of, you know, doing GPU specific graphics things with polygons or whatever. I mean, you can do that stuff. And it has a physics engine with it that's part of it. One of the things that's a problem with that physics engine is it's not very good for very small objects, like, say, the size of a dice. So in PCALC, the dice are actually 1 meter in diameter. But, you know, it all works.
One thing I personally enjoy very much about using the dice app is the sound that everything makes when it hits the table, because it sounds, to me anyway, it sounds legitimate. And that's one of the things I sort of like about it, is that it's always sort of the satisfying piece of rolling physical dice in the world, that, you know, listening to them kind of rattle around on the table, I always enjoy that noise. And so having the dice app do that also worked for me anyway, works really well. I did not realize they were all a meter across. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, like, with this, the sounds, that was literally a case of, like, I'm sitting here at my computer, there's a microphone in front of it, and there's dice right next to me. So it was just like, roll some dice, record it, there we go, that's it. Yeah. But I did actually, I've been working this week on the sounds, because I had made a mistake. There's actually a bug in the sound code, which I just fixed, that the pitch of the sounds was supposed to vary up and down slightly, and it wasn't doing that. So now they sound slightly better. And it's a completely pointless detail that nobody will ever notice.
But, well, I will now. And anybody listening will also notice that they sound
basically
better.
The pitch also varies dependent on the material of the dice you're rolling. So if you're rolling a dice that looks like a metal dice, it will sound slightly deeper than if you're rolling a plastic one. Anyway,
I do like also the materials. You can have, like, I think the table can be different things. I picked like a wood one ages ago and just left it. And then the dice can all be different colors. You have different sides. Different numbers of sides. So, you know, if you accidentally end up playing Dungeons and Dragons, for example, which happens more than you might think, you can always have dice with you. And I like that, like, there's metal ones and they can be all different colors and that sort of stuff. I think that's, I always thought that was interesting.
It's like a lot of these projects, it's kind of like, it's my evening and weekend project. And if I'm like stressed out, I can just spend 20 minutes to half an hour and design like a new dice theme. And there you go. I've done something, you know, relatively productive, and it was a nice little task. I mean, the fact that I've bought professional 3D modeling and painting software just to do these dice. yeah, it's not like the most, as I say, the most financially wise investment in time. Perhaps. But, you know, PCALC, I have been not just working on the DICE app. I'm currently working on a big update for PCALC for the Mac, just getting everything in place for Big Sur. Like, one of the things, Big Sur gets rid of the old style widgets, and PCALC had what I think was a very nice little calculator widget that could live in your notification center. And that's gone now, because the new widgets, you can't do the same kind of interactive stuff. Mm-hmm. So I've taken that code and I'm putting it into a menu bar widget. So basically a little PCALC icon in the menu bar, and you can click that and it'll drop down and it's a little calculator. But it works better now because I can have a hotkey. So you can basically in any app press a hotkey and it'll drop down and it'll have keyboard focus. So you can do a quick calculation, hit the hotkey again, and it'll go away and you're back in your app and you don't need to sort of task switch into anything else. And there's, you know, I'm working on the Apple Silicon stuff as well. And there's a bunch of things, but, you know, well, I just want to point out to anyone who's listening that I'm not just working on the DICE.
Of course not. But, you know, I assume the DICE app more so this year than others, probably. It's nice to have that sort of distraction, and like, at least I feel like I got something done today.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it, certainly the last 6 months have been interesting, I think, for many people.
Yes.
And yeah, I certainly had a huge problem with creativity and getting stuff done at the start of that. Well, let's say 4 months of that. There was a lot of Animal Crossing, as you well remember.
I do.
Uh, but you know, I have put away my island now. But it was just, it was just getting to the point where, I mean, I say put away the island. There is somebody else running around the island as we speak. But anyway, it was a really difficult time for a lot of people. I mean, you know, just,
yeah.
I mean, I work from home anyway, as we were saying. So it's not like there was a great change to my day-to-day job. You know, it's go into the office, sit down in front of a computer and work. Mm-hmm. So that stuff was kind of normal. But it was just everything that was happening outside, you know, these four walls that was difficult. So it's kind of taken me a while to get back into that, back into the way of working. And, mm-hmm. you know, Apple themselves have had some sort of, you know, the phones are all kind of like a month later. And, you know, some stuff happened really early and some stuff is happening really late. So we had the whole, you know, iOS 14 got dropped on us with 24-hour notice of the release. Yeah. And that was a stressful time.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And now we're kind of like, developers are waiting. It's like, when is Big Sur going to come out? It's like, who knows? It was like, it could have come out at Apple's second event when they intro'd the phones, because they could have done a, and Big Sur comes out tomorrow or whatever.
Which they did with iOS 14 with the September event when we got the new iPads and the new watch. What, at the end of it was, by the way, iOS 14's tomorrow. Bye.
And cut to a lot of developers on Twitter losing their minds.
Cut to my timeline, all going, wait, what? What did he just say? Did he really just, is that tomorrow? Oh, that's tomorrow. Oh, God. Yeah.
Lots and of I did actually get Peacock and Dice updates submitted and on the store the next day. So I did make the 24 hours. I just didn't enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, it's like, I'd got all my apps pretty much, all the Mac apps pretty much ready for Big Sur a couple of weeks ago. So now I'm like, well, I think I've probably got another 4 weeks. So I'm now just going through small little jobs and sort of like, well, I could get this done in a week or whatever. I don't want to like open the code up deeply and start doing something major, because Apple could turn around and say, oh yeah, we're having an event on Tuesday and it's going to ship then,
or tomorrow morning there's a press release, like Big Sur is
I mean, we're recording this like a few days before it's going to go out, so by the time it's gone out, if you've heard that Big Sur has released, then you will know what my 4 days or whatever have been like. So we're kind of in this weird period, and I kind of would like it to be over, you know, just get the stuff out and so I can move on, because right now I'm in this limbo of not wanting to do too much, but you know, needing to do something. And you know, by the end of November is where I'd normally go and have a vacation, and that's not going to happen either, so it's kind of a strange I'm in a great situation in the, you know, I can work from home, and you know, the pandemic for me has, you know, it's been hard, but it's been a lot easier than many people, and I have that privilege. It's just been, it's just weird and weird for everyone, but
So we have a bit of time left, and I just wanted to ask you really quickly, I know, because you've been at it since the turn of the century, I think we can say that now. What has the evolution of development been like? Getting rid of 32-bit apps, and now with Catalyst and sort of, you know, building the core to go to two different platforms, you know, but using one development environment for making all of that happen.
Well, I mean, it's like, if you go back all the 28 years, it's like, I've seen processor transitions and things like that. You know, I've done at least two of those. Yeah. That's not a problem. This one's a lot easier than those two. and, you know, it's been interesting. I think the main changes have not been so much on the development side, because, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, you're just sitting there using whatever the framework of the decade is, making an app. It's more the changes have been on the marketing and the selling and the sort of the overall business side around it. Because I mean, when I started, I was giving away my apps for free, And it took, you know, quite a few years before they became shareware. And then, you know, cut to sometime later and the App Store appears. And then it's like that just becomes the dominant model overnight. You know, I never shipped physical discs. Well, that's not true. Some of my stuff shipped on physical discs, but my own apps never shipped. And also like with the rise of the sort of race to the bottom on pricing, mm-hmm. and then everything should be free, and then, you know, is it advertising or is it going to be subscriptions or however people are trying to monetize things or not monetize things? So that's really been the biggest changes would be if you showed me like what I'm doing 28 years ago, I was like, yeah, okay, you're pretty much doing the same thing.
Maybe the formatting is a bit different, right? And that's
the computers are probably, you know, like 10,000 times faster, or I don't actually know how fast they are, but my iMac Pro is kind of a bit better than my Mac Classic, but you know, think Pascal versus Xcode, they're kind of the same.
Excellent. Well, James, where can the people find out more about your apps?
Well, if you want to find me, Twitter is probably best, James Thompson. That's Thompson without a P. And if you want to find out about my apps, peekout.com is where they all live. There's also tla.systems, but it just links to peekout.com, really. I am working hard on making new versions of everything currently, and the Mac versions are probably going to be out in the next sort of 3 weeks or so, and I'm looking forward to that. But feel free to send me any comments and suggestions.
You can also email the show here at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can even leave comments in the show notes. James, thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me and all our listeners today.
It's always a pleasure, and it's an additional pleasure to chat to you in a work capacity as opposed to a incomparable capacity.
Yes. Full disclosure, James and I do occasionally podcast together over on the Incomparable Network, and so you can sometimes find us there talking about things like Nintendo and sci-fi movies and all kinds of other things. So that's going to do it for us today. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.